Let's pray together. Oh Lord, help us as we open your word today. Lord, anoint this time. Holy Spirit, we ask that you would come. Be our teacher, be our guide, our helper. Speak through me, Lord, and speak life. Lord, help me to be clear. Don't let it just be theoretical. But Lord, help me to change our actions, our attitudes, the way we think about living, the way we think about you, the way we think about church. Don't let it just be knowledge that puffs up. But let us get it into our heart, our hands, our feet, on our lips. As David meditated on your word day and night, he said that your word was continually on his lips. Lord, let it be continually on our lips. Blessing. Blessing you, blessing others. Being a blessing to this world. Speaking out your word and seeing those things created and speaking. For your glory. Amen. Amen. And today is Palm Sunday. We celebrate the time that Jesus came into Jerusalem riding on the back of a donkey. And as he goes in and he's riding down, and really, you know, it's a message of humility that he's on the back of a donkey, but it's also a message of being the son of David, a fulfillment of the promise. David went out of Jerusalem on a donkey in humility, really in rejection. Jesus comes into Jerusalem on a donkey, and he's hailed the king, saying, "Hail to the son of David. Hosanna." Hosanna means Lord save. I'm not going to be spending much time there, but the reason I'm bringing it up is, you know, everything that Jesus did by coming into Jerusalem, by being declared the son of David, was first because he was a son. That might seem rather obvious. As we talked about last week, just because you're a son does not mean that you inherit the promise. We looked at Isaac, and last week I was told I kept calling Isaac Jacob, so forgive me. We looked at Isaac, who had Jacob and Esau. Esau had rebellion in his heart. He went the other direction. Jacob was obedient to his parents. Jacob received two things. He received the birthright. He actually bought it for a bowl of stew. He bought it from Esau. He received the birthright, that double portion, how it was in the Old Testament. is you would divide your estate into one more the number of kids that you have. And the oldest, the one who had the birthright, he would get the double portion. As I said last week, you know, I've got four girls. So what I would do is I'd divide it five ways. And I'd give two portions to Charis and one portion to the other three. So Jacob would receive that double portion because of the birthright now. But what we see is kind of a foreshadowing that he not only got the birthright, he not only got the inheritance. He didn't just get the things, the cattle, the livestock, the sheep, the goats, but he also got a blessing. Now Esau really wanted the blessing. The blessing was power. Who you bless will be blessed, who you curse will be cursed. If anyone blesses you, they'll be blessed. If anyone curses you, they'll be cursed. You'll have prosperity wherever you go. It's a blessing of power. What we see is a foreshadowing there that God is taking a family, and that family gets an inheritance in God because they're part of the family. But not everybody receives the power of the blessing. And the power of the blessing, we see it begun with Isaac putting his hand on Jacob. And the power of the blessing then gets passed along. Let me give you a couple of examples that I really want to get into Jesus today. Most of the miracles in the Old Testament, not all, but a good portion, come from four people. Moses, who had a spiritual son, Joshua. Those are two. Remember, you know that everything happened with Moses going into Egypt and God performing miraculous signs so the people of Israel could come out of Egypt. At the end of Moses' life, he lays his hands on Joshua and blesses him. Joshua becomes the spiritual father of the nation. And more miracles take place with Joshua going through the Jordan River, seeing the walls of Jericho fall, going out to fight, and having hailstones come and kill the enemies more than the swords. The other two people are Elijah and his spiritual son Elisha. You might find very interesting both of those, they're both part of Israel. You know, Moses and Joshua, they're part of Israel. They have the blessings of Abraham already because they're part of the inheritance of Israel. But what they received was a spiritual blessing from their spiritual father. Moses to Joshua. Joshua meaning the Lord is my salvation. Happens to be the exact name of Yeshua. Jesus. Elijah to Elisha. We talked about Elijah and Elisha last week. Different name for God, but is Elisha is God is my salvation. Yeshua is Yahweh is my salvation. Elisha is Eli. Excuse me. Elohim. The short for Elohim. So God is my salvation. They both have spiritual fathers, and they both carried on the work of the father before them. When it's if you look in the back of in the end of in the book of Joshua, when Joshua was still alive, the people of Israel followed after God. And as soon as Joshua died and the elders of Israel died with him, the people started to go astray. With Elijah and Elisha, Elisha carried on the work of Elijah. All the miracles, all the signs and wonders. But when Elisha died, the miracles stopped. You see very few after that. Until. Until. Until there was a man who was born. The man born of the family of Abraham. He could trace his lineage back through David, through Abraham, back to Adam. Of course, we know that the man is Jesus. That Jesus did not just come into the world and automatically start doing miracles. Mary didn't go to Jesus and say, "Jesus, your room's messed up." And he'd go in and say, and automatically it was all cleaned up. Don't you wish that could happen to you? "Lord, let my garage be clean." No, you see, Jesus was born into the family of Abraham, the family of David. He was born a son. But he didn't begin to do miraculous things until he was blessed. It was at his baptism. See, John the Baptist, who was Jesus' cousin, was called ahead. He went before Jesus. And there's an idea that the Jews have, even still today, and I believe it's very right. During the time of Jesus, a rabbi was said, there's different levels of rabbis. There's a rabbi with what they called smicha, a rabbi with authority. A rabbi with smicha would have disciples. A rabbi with smicha, he would know the entire Old Testament, word for word for word for word. Oftentimes a rabbi with smicha would see some little bit of signs and wonders that follows. They would not only teach the word, just your normal rabbi would say, "You know, the law says this, and that's what you should do." A rabbi with smicha would say, "The law says you should give an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, but I say to you, love your enemies and do good to those who curse you." Sound familiar? Now, the only way that a rabbi could get smicha would be to receive it from two other rabbis who had it. And Jewish scholars, even today, of Jesus, they say, Jesus was a rabbi with smicha, with authority. Where did he receive it? Well, the Pharisees asked him, where did you get this authority? And he answered them back, the answer, with a question. Well, where did John get his authority? They didn't want to play anymore. So they said, "If we say you got it from God, why don't you listen to him?" If they say, he didn't have it, then the people are going to uprise, because John was a prophet. So we don't know. He said, "I'm not going to tell you either." But what he did is he answered them. "Where did you get the authority?" "I got it from John." John was a rabbi with authority. The other person, and the Jews even recognize this today, many of the Jewish scholars, the Jesus scholars and the Jewish, they'll say Jesus is the only rabbi that got his authority from God. But what you see is the prophetic mantle of Elijah. The prophetic mantle of Moses. It wasn't passed to Jesus just simply because he was the Son of God. It wasn't passed to him simply because he was a son of Abraham. It was passed by a spiritual father. Jesus came to John the Baptist. You remember the story, it's in Matthew 3. Jesus arrived from Galilee to Jordan, coming to John to be baptized by him. But John tried to prevent him, saying, I need to be baptized by you. Why are you coming to me? And Jesus answered and said to him, let it be for this time, for in this way it's fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness. He permitted it. After being baptized, Jesus came up immediately from the water. Behold, the heavens were open, and he saw the Spirit of God descending as a dove and lighting on him, resting on him. The idea is, with Moses, the presence of God would come down into the tabernacle. Moses would go into the tabernacle and meet with God. It said it came down to the door of the tabernacle. By the way, remember Jesus said, I am the door? Same word. Came down to the door, the threshold of the tabernacle. And it would stay there. It's virtually the same wording. That the presence of God came down and stayed upon Jesus just as it did on the tabernacle of Moses. If you remember, there was a young man who stayed in the tabernacle in the presence of God. That was Joshua. What I'm going to tell you this morning is that you might receive your salvation through being a son of Abraham. You do that by faith. Just as Abraham got his salvation, you receive your salvation, your sonship in Abraham, being a member of Israel by faith, believing in the promised son. That's Jesus. But if you want to receive the power associated with the gospel, you want to receive the power of Christ, it comes from a spiritual father. Let me ask this. Who is the most free person in the entire world? Thank you. Who is the most powerful person that's ever lived? Jesus. Who is the most submitted person that's ever lived? If you want power, you want freedom, you want to walk with God, it comes through submission. If you look over to the book of Luke, have you go to this few different passages, Luke chapter 2. You probably remember the story of Jesus when he was around 12. He'd gone with his family to Jerusalem for the feast. They were in a caravan. They all left and left Jesus back at the temple. After going a day's journey and coming back, they finally found Jesus. Verse 48 says, when they saw him, they were astonished. And his mother said to him, son, why have you treated us this way? Behold, your father and I have been anxiously looking for you. Verse 49, Luke 2. He said to them, why is it you were looking for me? Did you not know that I had to be in my father's house? But they didn't understand the statement which he had made to them. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth, and he continued in subjection to them. And his mother treasured all these things in her heart. If there were anybody that could have said, you know what? I'm going to do it my way. Mom, Dad, you're really not my dad. I'm going to do it my way. I've got another mission. It would have been Jesus. But it said that he remained in subjection to his parents, his earthly parents. He remained submitted to the laws of Moses. We know that he didn't break a single one. He was sinless. If there's anybody that can say, hey, my daddy wrote the book, I'm going to skirt this one. It would have been Jesus. There would have been anybody that could have said, you know what, I'm going to, you know, I'm the Son of God. I'm going to just do whatever I want to with miracles and signs and wonders. It could have been Jesus. If you look at John 5, though, 5:19 says this, John 5. Therefore Jesus answered and was saying to them, truly, truly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself unless it is something he sees the Father doing. For whatever the Father does, these things the Son also does in like manner. Also in verse 30. I can do nothing on my own initiative. As I hear, I judge. My judgment is just because I do not seek my own will, but the will of him who sent me. Chapter 6, verse 38. For I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. Jesus is absolutely submitted in every way. He was submitted to his parents. He was submitted to the laws. He submitted to his Father in heaven. His job on earth was to do exactly the things that the one who sent him had him to do. In the book of Hebrews, chapter 5, verse 8. Although he was a son, Jesus, starting verse 7. In the days of his flesh, he offered up both prayer and supplication with loud crying and tears to the one able to save him from death. And he was heard because of his piety. Although he was a son, he learned obedience from the things which he suffered. Jesus absolutely was obedient. And when you look at the power that Jesus had, when you look at the freedom that Jesus had, when you look at what he did, it came through his submission. He received the power through his spiritual father. God continues that today. We need to begin to look at the church and the family. It's not just a bunch of people getting together. But it's a family. Families should at least love one another. They should take care of each other. They should be each other's needs. They should know each other. I could take one look at virtually any one of my five young ladies over there, and I can tell you what kind of day they're having. I can look at Karis and say, what's wrong, Karis? Oh, nothing. No, no, you tell them what's wrong. It's written all over your face. You know your family that way? This family. Are we motivated out of love? You see, a lot of what we need to realize is in a family, there's a father. And the blessing comes from the father to his kids. Now you can have kids that are like Jacob, who submit, who obey, said, okay, mom, dad, I'll go get a daughter wherever you want, or get a wife wherever you want me to go, get that wife. Or you can have kids that are like Esau. He said, you know what? Mom and dad want me to go get a daughter from their group. I'm not going someplace else. Isaac had both kids. They're both sons of Isaac. One received a blessing. The other didn't. In the church, we've lost this, the idea of fatherhood and sonship. Yes, daughters, you're included too. We've lost the idea of fatherhood and being a son. We all come into church and we say, well, you know, let's just be individuals. Let's be, you know, one person over here, one person over here, and let's all just get together as individuals and then we can try to make things work. And it doesn't work that way. Because I'm going to tell you, the blessings of God come through the Father. And they're distributed to the sons, to the daughters. Flip over to 1 Corinthians 4. Let me show you what I mean. For if you were to have, this is Paul writing to the church at Corinth. For if you were to have countless tutors in Christ, yet you would not have many fathers. For in Christ Jesus, I became your father through the gospel. Therefore, I exhort you, be imitators of me. And what Paul is doing is he's setting up, saying, you know, I want you to be blessed. I love you, and let's be a family. And I want you to be blessed. What kind of son are you going to be? What kind of daughter are you going to be? Are you going to be a son or daughter that goes his own way? Or are you going to be a son or daughter who is part of the family and is blessed? Flip over to Hebrews. We've been talking a lot about sons. I know it's Hebrews, but the Hebrews are included too. Hebrews 13. Hebrews 13, 17. Obey your leaders and submit to them, for they keep watch over your souls as those who have given account. Let them do this with joy, not with grief, for this would be unprofitable for you. Look back over to 2 Corinthians. Let me tie this together. 2 Corinthians chapter number 10. Ten five. We're destroying speculations and every lofty thing raised up against the knowledge of God, and we are taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. And we are ready to punish all disobedience whenever your obedience is complete. Why is Paul saying, I want you to obey your leaders, I want you to submit to their authority? Because he's on a power trip? No. No, he wants them blessed. He wants them free. He wants them to inherit the blessings and the power of the Most High God, and he knows that those who are on their own aren't going to get it. The only way to get it, that's what this is saying here. We're ready to judge all disobedience whenever your obedience is complete. Once you get there, the power is going to flow. But it comes in family. I love my four daughters with all my heart. For me, it's God, Ruth, and my girls, and everybody else is like, this is down here. Sorry. I love you guys too, but there's five young ladies back there on that row. That's the best that comes in the world for me. Ruth and I encourage our kids to obey. Why? Because I want to squish them? Just like grape. Because a lot of times it's for protection. Hey, don't go play out in the street. They drive 60 miles an hour up and down Meeting House. Don't touch the stove when it's hot. That's going to burn you. Listen. Because when you don't listen, you'll miss something really, really important. Sometimes it's, hey, we're going to go and have a good time after dinner. We're going to play a game. Make sure your room's clean. Because if it's not clean, we're not playing. It's out of love. It's out of love. And I tell you what. They're going to receive a blessing. Jesus received blessings from his Father. He received the Spirit and poured it out upon us. Spirit was transferred from the apostles in that upper room by the laying on of hands. Remember, that's how Isaac to Jacob, from Moses to Joshua, with Elisha and Elijah, it was the mantle that happened to be on Elijah, and Elijah had to pick it up. Let me tell you, I've got a wealth that God has poured into me that he wants to pour into others. That might sound arrogant. I don't mean it to be. It's just how God works. I've got more stuff than my daughters. And someday, in 150 years, whenever I die, it's going to be theirs. A lot of things I'll give to them beforehand. Some of them already started asking for our cast iron cookware. That's okay. want them to know that they have an inheritance in their death. God has poured a lot into me to be able to give out to sons, to daughters. The question is, do you want the inheritance by being a son, by being a daughter? What kind of son and daughter are you going to be? Now, there's no strings attached. If you want to just come in and say, well, I don't want to be a son, I don't want to be a daughter, you just want to come in and be blessed, that's fine. I'm going to love you, I'll serve you, I'll bless you, but you're not going to receive everything from God. That's just how it works. But those who want it, if you're like Elisha, he said, I'm not letting you out of my sight, Elijah, because I want that inheritance. Those who press in, those who say, I'm not going to let you get anywhere without being right on your coattails, let me tell you what, the blessings will come. Overflow again. We must have sonship. That's the order that God put in place. He's done it through the Old Testament, he's done it in the New Testament, in our ultimate example of Jesus, who not only was a son to his Father in heaven, but was a son to his mother and father on earth, and even submitted to another in spiritual authority, John the Baptist. And for that, he received a major blessing. He received the power and the anointing of the kingdom of God. Will we follow in his steps? Or do we think that we can do better on our own? Let's pray. Oh Lord, may you restore the family of God. May you restore the family of God. And just as you said in Malachi that Elijah would come and turn the hearts of the fathers back to the children and the children back to the fathers. Once again, turn the fathers back to the children and the children back to the fathers. That we might be your family, and that we might receive everything from you that you have for us. All the power, all the anointing, all the blessings. Lord, I can't speak for everybody, but I want to be your son. I want to submit. I don't want you to look at me and say, you're a rebellious son. You won't get it. Lord, give us sons and daughters of the kingdom who will follow after you with all our hearts. Jesus' name. Amen. Let me give one more example. As I was praying, I just felt like I needed to say one other thing. When I was younger, this was actually in college, I remember I was my spiritual father, I told you last week. Ruth and I both had spiritual fathers, grandfathers, that we checked our relationship with. You know, we said, are we If I would have been married to Ruth, I had to get past the grandpa test. Excuse me, I have to pass the pastor test. Maybe before we met, I was deciding whether to change schools, change colleges. And I went to my pastor, my spiritual father. And I said, Pastor, I'm thinking about changing schools. This is what I want. I'd like you to just pray for me and tell me what you hear. And he immediately came back. He said, Ryan, that's the will of God. You need to do that. I transferred mid-semester. I didn't say mid-semester, in the middle of the year. And went up the middle of my sophomore year. That happened because I was willing to listen. And I was willing to go and get the blessing of my spiritual father also. To hear, to confirm it. If I had not done that, if I had not gone, I would have missed out on a blessing. Spiritual father is very important. You receive blessings. I know I have.